Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Korishkol. This week I'm joined by Maya Lucky, Tor Cardona and Laura Black. So first of all, we're going to talk about what to pack for a destination wedding. Because, well, I asked Charlotte to write this piece because I went to a wedding recently in the Caribbean and I had a bit of a help moment, what do I take? And a girlfriend said to me, don't be ridiculous, surely you of all people have got loads of things you could wear. And I was like, well, I've got lots of stuff for sort of city weddings or English country weddings, but I think a hot destination wedding is quite a different brief. What about you? Has anyone been to any destination weddings or is going to any this summer?
I just had one in Dubai actually in the beginning of May, which was cool, but it was just very hot. And obviously that was my biggest concern. I was like, what am I going to wear for a wedding at 4 o'clock when it's 45 degrees?
Exactly.
You know, but, and obviously that's a different kind of, much more glamorous look than I probably would have done if I had a wedding here.
Dubai to me sounds like it's going to be quite a dressy affair.
Yes, exactly.
So what were your essentials for that wedding?
What was my, number one was a spray tan because everyone had to be as orange as everyone else. I just went in the end for something really, really simple. I spent ages looking for something a bit more elaborate and I just went for something really simple at the end. Just like a pale blue wrap dress from Topshop.
Long, short.
Just kind of like midi, it was like an asymmetrical wrap. And just some like silver strappy shoes and kept it really, really simple actually in the end.
And were there a series of events? Because I think that's the other big thing when you go to a wedding abroad. It's not just one thing, you've got to think of multiple
the night before.
Yes, no, we were lucky we didn't have that. But I know you probably did.
Yes, so the one I went to, we had a couple of drinks, there was a lot going on, there was brunch, and everyone was staying in the same resort, so you're kind of aware that, you've got to think it through, and actually, I took each event in turn, and decided what I was going to wear to each of them, and I got there and I was so glad I did. I didn't take that much stuff, but I packed one kind of extra outfit. And actually we got there on the first night. They were like, so drink starts at 7. And I was like, okay, luckily I've got that spare outfit. But I was really pleased that I kind of approached it in that way.
That sounds so stressful.
It was a bit stressful. But I think to me, the sort of main point that I would make is, I mean, Dubai possibly different, but most of the girls that were at the wedding were wearing maxis.
I can't say there are a lot of maxis in Dubai.
Really?
No.
Was it very glamorous?
Yeah.
Stilettos.
Yeah, Essex.
Quite dressy, I suppose, Dubai. But yeah, I think if you're going somewhere hot and, you know, whether it's a wedding in Ibiza or in the Caribbean, I mean, the advice that I would give if you're not sure is maxi. And there's something about a maxi as well where I think, especially if it's sort of floral and quite of the moment, you don't feel like you look like you've tried too hard.
Yeah, and you can dress it up with big earrings, but maybe flat sandals and still feel enough rather than...
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for actually when it's hotter to cover up even more. Actually, a maxi looks way more classy than like getting it all out.
Yeah, it's a bit more bohemian and cooler and wafty. And then I think when it comes to other events, I mean, at the moment the trends play so well to it, but I think something like an off the shoulder and like a palazzo pant is going to be so useful, isn't it? And again, there's something about the waftiness of a palazzo pant that doesn't feel like you've tried too hard, even if they're super cool and super smart. I think that's quite a good option. And then I think lashings of gold, big, chunky statement jewellery.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
And some good flats. And I find the shoe option when you go to wedding abroad
really
quite
hard,
difficult.
Yeah,
that's how I broke my toe.
Because
it was so hot. I couldn't wait to get my shoes off. And the minute we went inside to dance, I threw them off. And I was not wearing shoes and someone stood on my foot.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I danced barefoot at the wedding that I went to, all night on my feet afterwards. I mean, they were just
ruined.
I know, but it's just... When it's hot, you just want to take them off.
I think that the semi-sliders about on the high street now, they're, well, everywhere, but it makes it a bit easier. You don't have to wear heels. You can have quite nice looking sliders.
Yes, because I think, you're so right. They're quite dressy as well at the moment, especially those sort of Miu Miu-esque pearl ones.
Yeah.
They look great. I mean, years ago, you would never have dreamt of going to a wedding and not wearing a heel, I don't think.
No.
I think you really can.
Or a hat.
Or a hat.
Now.
I mean, who
wearing a hat to work? This wouldn't even cross my mind.
No, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't just taken my hats anymore.
Yeah.
The rule used to be, didn't it? If you got married after 5 o'clock, it was then considered an evening wedding and you didn't need to wear a hat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that was the rule.
Wow. Yeah, I had a wedding also a few weeks ago and actually there were a lot of hats there.
Were there?
It's really interesting, yeah.
It's an English country wedding.
Yeah, lots of that kind of style.
I'll see a few more.
I just don't know if I...
I don't anymore. I mean, my wedding over 10 years ago, everyone wore a hat. absolutely everyone. Now, if I went to a wedding, I wouldn't bother. And also, who wants to spend the money?
Yeah, I think
I think a little fascinator can actually look really nice with the right outfit.
But
a full hat, I don't know.
I think they can look incredible. I mean, I think Kate Middleton does hats really well.
Yeah.
But, you know, £500 on a hat. Mm. I mean, he wants to spend that. In fact, my personal trainer said to me, she said, oh, I need to ask you, I'm going to Ascot this year for the first time, and my dad keeps sending me links to all these hat companies that are, like, literally £300 for a hat. Where do I go? So I said, go to Debenhams or John Lewis.
And
I
do think... expensive sometimes.
Fenix is quite good as well. Mm.
They're expensive. Yeah. I do feel John Lewis, for sort of £50,
you can get
a good hat,
yeah,
can't you?
Definitely.
I'm over hats.
Me too. I'm sure they'll come back.
Anyway, I think destination wedding, forget the hat, a nice raffia clutch, and yeah, a nice maxi dress. I think those to me
are midi. I think something that's flowy.
Yeah, something floaty.
Yeah.
I mean, the trends this summer just play so well to it.
Yeah.
Amazingly
well, yeah. I've actually got that dress we wore on Instagram the other day.
The Girl Hurdle?
No, the Zara. Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty,
yeah,
isn't
I've got
it?
That. I've got one similar from last year as well, and I've worn it so much I bought it.
It's really pretty.
Almost identical, but I've just
bought it. Oh, really? What, they done that one before?
Yeah, slightly darker colours. Oh. I've worn it to so many things.
It's a great dress, and that's really nice. If anyone listening, that's the floral print Zara, sort of quite high neck.
Yeah, long sleeve.
It's such a good dress. And we were saying in the office today, it's sort of one of those dresses you actually want to hang on to. I feel like lots of people have it this year.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to wear it
for
years to come.
Yeah.
And it will, people will forget that it's Zara.
It's so expensive looking. You would never think.
Yeah.
Quite Zimmerman.
Yeah. £60. Let's talk about horoscopes, because we started running Sherlock's horoscopes. What, 6 months ago?
Yeah, December was the first one.
And I remember saying to you, Tor, what's your take on horoscopes? And we did a little poll in the office, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
it's very Marmite.
It is, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You are a horoscope reader.
I love horoscopes, yeah, I do, really do.
Religiously every month?
Yeah, absolutely. Often weekly.
Really?
I know we don't do weekly ones, but maybe that's next. Yeah, I really do.
And they perform really well, and I think that's what's so fascinating about horoscopes is when we did the poll in the office, a lot of people said they didn't read them, and we decided that we'd try it. So we found Fiona Graham, well, you found Fiona Graham, and here we are, and they perform so well, which is, I think, really interesting, because I imagine so many of our readers don't read them, yet obviously the ones that do... really want to tune in, don't you?
Yeah, because Mike, you love it, don't you?
I love a horoscope. I mean, I get a weekly one as well.
That's your gypsy roots, Maya.
It is my gypsy roots again. But I love it. I'm obsessed. I just like seeing what might potentially happen this week or this month to me. And even if it might not come
true. Can't you interpret them in any way you want?
Well, a lot of people do.
So someone sent me an email. So Laura, do you read your horoscope?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
Really,
I think they're a load of crap.
I think it's a load of
crap. Yeah, so do I. But somebody sent me an email. I was chatting to someone and they said, read this. And it was a generic horoscope. And they said, there's an argument. I don't know who's written it, but that you send this generic horoscope to anybody and they can take something away from it.
While
we were preparing for today, I was like, oh, I'm going to read Gemini and I'm going to read Cancer. And it finishes with, I love the way they finish with a sort of, you know, G up, what, you know, you've got what it takes to overcome this, and it's important to be on your guard so no one can spoil your upbeat. You know, I mean, any of those could mean something to me.
It's such a load of nonsense.
Oh, but I just love it.
I really do. I think it's great. Also, people love it.
And people do,
completely.
Yeah.
You know, and if you go a step further and go down the whole kind of tarot cards, clairvoyant route, I love that stuff. And, you know, I don't know if I've told you this, I went to see a clairvoyant, like, I've been to see her a couple of times, and it is so scary what she could tell you about your life. She gives names, like also stuff you can't Google, like dead grandparents, really random names.
She's been onto your ancestry, whatever it is.
I don't think so. She's amazing.
Did you book in before? So she knew
you
were.
And, you know, I had to give her
give
a piece
her
of jewelry.
False name.
Yes, that's a good. That's a good.
Sorry,
idea. I had to give her a piece of jewelry, and straight away she was, you know, naming like dead people in my life and like quite specific names in relations to those people. And
I find it interesting. I'm super, super keen to have my palms read. I haven't had it done before, but I have, I think, abnormally liny hands. Like quite a lot of lines go through my hands, and I. Yeah,
Maya, you're going to have a bit of a battle this month. By the end of the month, you're going to overcome it, and you're going to find new challenges and
that
new
is
opportunities.
So funny you say that, Georgie, because apparently many lines in your hands mean you overcome many challenges in your life.
I was at school with someone whose mum was obsessed with having her palms read tarot cards. Are they the same? Different things?
Different things.
I mean, it's all someone with a scarf over their head.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Anyway.
Like each Nessa from Gavin and Stacey.
You what?
Like Nessa from Gavin and Stacey.
She does that.
She thinks she can.
She thinks she can. And she basically sums up horoscopes to me. She just sort of says a few words and puts on a scarf and talks some big rubbish.
I find it fascinating. And obviously a lot of people agree.
Yeah, they do. Judging by the interaction from our readers, we will be continuing with Fiona Graham's predictions. TV, what have people been watching this week?
Well, I think it's the obvious one, isn't it?
Love Island. I'm going to say Love Island, aren't you? Which you have actually got me completely hooked on, and you've actually got my husband completely hooked on.
I don't even feel guilty about it.
It's so good.
It's brilliant. You know, for the next 7 weeks, it's like, oh my God.
I know. Tune in. I know, but Tor, you said to me, you don't have to watch it every day. And now I'm literally, I can't miss it. I have to catch up if I've missed the one.
There
before.
Is a weekend, like,
summer. Yes. Yeah. I know, I was a bit annoyed on Saturday.
I know, so I get a bit panicky. Yeah. I'm a bit panicky if I've missed something.
Yeah, you might miss something really crucial.
It's great.
And someone in the office who I won't mention knows somebody in there. Do you know about this?
No.
Okay, so we'll call her Kate, as a friend that was dating someone who basically said, I'm going on holiday for a few weeks. And then turns up on Love Island.
No!
Yeah.
I just find it hilarious. And it just...
I feel like I know
who it is. Oh my God, I need to know who it is.
I feel like I know who it is. I'll tell you afterwards. I'm not sure. She might get in trouble. But apparently everyone... She put something on Twitter like, oh my God, I can't believe it. He's now ended up on Love Island. So everyone's been going, get her in.
Like gunning for her to go and cause the drama.
And that's what's so fun is that there's new people coming in all the time. Yeah. People go out, people come in. And that's what just stirs it all up. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, moving on from Love Island. And yes, I tell you what, actually, I started watching is Paula on your recommendation. And it's slightly terrifying. Is anyone else watching?
No.
And he's driving along and that girl appears.
She's just there, in the back of her bed.
I got quite frightened. I don't know where I was. I was watching it on my own. I was like, okay, Maya, you didn't warn me that this was some sort of real horror film.
I do turn away when I know those moments are coming. But the minute I hear that knocking, I do put a hand in front of my face.
Have you watched the rest?
I haven't watched the final episode. I think it's tonight. So when this podcast comes out, it would have already happened. But I think I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
How much have you watched? Just one?
I've only watched the first one.
Yeah, I think I know what's going to happen now.
I don't want to terrify myself. I don't know if I'll watch it.
No, it doesn't get scarier. It's just creepy.
Okay.
It's not
what channel is it on?
It's ITV. No, BBC Two.
Okay. Anything else anyone's watched this week?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to Riviera coming out on the thing. It's Thursday.
Is it this week?
Yeah, it's Thursday evening.
Okay, it looks good.
Sky, what is that?
I don't know what this
it's
is.
It's got Julia Stiles in it.
And is it?
Yeah.
It's funny how
I
these
think
people come back,
quite
isn't it?
The street.
It looks really good. I feel TV like needs something like this.
It's like set in south of France and
Yeah.
And then they've got, big, but it just looks...
I think the idea is that her husband dies. There's like a bomb or something and it explodes and he dies. And she has to like pick up the pieces and she... you know, of all their corrupt lives and stuff.
Hang on, and this is Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
So you've lost me because I don't have... No, it's like Big Little Bloody Lies that everyone tells me I would love and I can't watch, so I don't have Sky Atlantic. Let's talk about tanning. 5 summer tanning tips. So the idea of this piece tour was not everyone wants to cover themselves in fake tan and smell.
Yeah.
A biscuit tin.
A biscuit tin. So this was kind of tips on having a summer glow without using fake tan.
Yeah, exactly. I know, George, you've tried the new Dark Tilbury, that mask, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to bang on about it again, and it is £38, but it's absolutely brilliant. And this is her overnight bronze and glow mask, which is essentially a gradual tanner. Well, it is a gradual tanner.
So does it smell?
No, it really doesn't. And for years and years, people have said, oh, this is a fake tan, it doesn't smell. Absolutely rubbish. I've got this weird thing with my insomnia that if I can smell fake tan, I sort of can't sleep.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. There's no medical study to link the two. But it's sort of something in my head. This does not smell at all. It's completely brilliant. And the great thing about it is I've also used a brilliant Goerner instant tan, which has also got self-tan in it, which I think is great. But it does leave your hands a bit orange, and I can't be bothered to fiddle around with gloves all the time. So this is clear, and so it doesn't colour your hands when you put it on. Okay. And there's something you've got to rush to wash the
tip. Yeah, wash your hands off.
Anyway, I think this is a great product.
So do you just put it on your face?
Yeah, I put it on my face and neck.
So then you have to use
and why is it on that as well?
I guess it's like a moisturiser, but you don't wash it off.
Okay, fine.
Just like a bit of probably if it was thicker product. Okay. But it's supposed to leave your skin looking like nice the next morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I put a little bit on last night.
Yeah.
And I have finally, in my old age, just grown up about the sun, actually. I mean, it's a shame that it's taken me so long and I'm left with a body that's covered in moles and a few that have been cut out, and I'm sure I'll have to have more cut out and God knows what else, watch wood. But I mean, it has taken me... When I was 16, I used to just lie there and go, well, my burn will turn to brown, so... Mm. Give it to me if you can tell your 18-year-old self. Yeah. We went to a lunch yesterday and we were in the garden. I mean, in the old days, I'd have literally been sitting there angled in the right place trying to lap up any bit of sun. And now I'm just completely the opposite, SPF every day.
Yeah.
So I think I've finally grown up. Anyway, so I thought this was a great piece.
Yeah, and those Clarins drops as well, you can get them for the face and the body. They're amazing. I love them.
It's interesting, this drops thing is a bit of a trend now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What's the other brilliant one, Tor?
The Tan Luxe ones.
Yeah, I've
they're
got
more
those.
Like a pipette, though, aren't they?
Do you use those?
I have those, yeah. I put them in, like a moisturiser.
They're quite, like, strong, aren't they?
They are.
Yes, you said a little bit, just use them. Yeah. I haven't used them yet. I'm a bit terrified.
It's for someone that wants a dark tan, definitely.
Yeah. But I love that. It's not another whole product. You can just put a little bit in and obviously change the strength accordingly.
Yeah.
And you can mix it into anything, like your serum, moisturiser. on its own, you know, which is so nice. And also this new, the Vita Liberata, the body blur, is one of like the newest instant tans, and it is so good.
Is it?
Oh my God, it's so good.
I've used that actually.
It makes your skin look airbrushed.
It is like a HD finish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is £30, but this one goes a really long way.
I think tan doesn't last a long time, doesn't it?
Mm. But it's wash off one, so it's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So does it do any kind of self tanning?
No, just put it on, wash it off at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, I remember when it came along a few years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think I sort of disregarded it as just another tanning.
Mm. No, I think it's good.
People rave about it.
Yeah, and it's a bit more natural than the other ones as well. Okay. That's their kind of USP.
And they've got a gradual tan, I can see.
Yeah.
I believe it was first known as like a salon product.
Spray tan. Yeah.
And now they've turned, they've come to the high street with it. Yeah. So I think beauty therapists really rave it as well. So.
Yeah, it's great, that product. I like it. Mm.
Any other products that people swear by?
For tanning, I do use the Saint Tropez gradual tan, which I do use that for.
Yeah, the new sculpting one. Yeah. Sculpting. It's like a firming one. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's
like
a shower tan.
No, I like the one that's green, that's Saint Tropez.
Oh, the express one.
Yeah, because you can put it on for 2 hours and then shower before bed.
It's
quite that is good. And then
it develops overnight, so you don't get dirty sheets.
I think they all do that a bit though, don't they?
Yeah, I think that one is the best. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah,
it's green, so you look really.
Is it green or is it maybe it's blue?
It's blue.
Like the bottle. Sorry, the bottle. Yes.
You're like Smurf.
No, no, but I have got a tan. I forget the name.
Yes, that came out green.
That comes out green. Yes. It stains your hand like hell.
Yes. I thought when they turn green, that's when they've oxidized.
That sounds awful.
It's quite old, so maybe that's why. The only thing I say is, sometimes I put it on at night, wash it off, and they'll be like, I literally put it on. I need to put it on for about an hour. You wake up the next morning, it's like a great job.
Oh, wow. Really?
Wow.
Perhaps it needs to go in. It's like tonight's the night. I always think if I have a spray tan, I can't be doing with getting to bed with it on.
No.
Do you remember when I started Sherlock's Laura and that product came out, that sleeping bag?
I bought one.
Do you remember?
I got a bronzy. It's like
A onesie.
And it's got like special vents under your pits and your groin so you don't like sweat. And it's got like a leather skin hood. It's hilarious.
Do you wear it?
I didn't.
No, really.
But this was a sleeping bag, so you didn't. That sounds like
bright pink.
Yeah.
So that's... You put this on when you've had your spray tan, so when you go home, you can wear it.
Oh, this was something you actually put into your bed so it didn't affect your sheets.
Quite clever, really.
On the topic of beauty tour, you did a piece which was your beauty editor's favourite.
Yeah.
And there were lots of great things in here. I have to say, I agree with you. We keep talking about Fresh. I'm a massive fan of the brand, but their soy cleanser, which I'm using at the moment,
it's
too.
It's so nice.
It's lovely.
Isn't it? Just ran out. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really nice. £12.50, quite reasonable.
So reasonable. I love it. And also the Charlotte Tilbury's Magic Cream, which is so good.
I've never tried it. Everyone raves about it, don't they?
It's so, I don't know what's in it, but it makes your skin look so good. And it really does get rid of your fine lines. Like up here, I find my wrinkles so much more.
What
like,
wrinkles are you having?
I do.
You've got amazing skin. £70, it's mega pricey, but it is the one product that when we interview people comes up time and time again, doesn't it?
People rave about it. It's so good.
And you mentioned Bleach London Silver Shampoo as well.
Yes, and that is such a good product because blonde hair is so porous, it gets yellow really quickly, it can look a bit dirty, a bit grimy. But this is the colour of it. It's so dark purple, it's almost black. And it does, you've got to be careful if it sprays over your shower. But it makes your hair look so white. I know I probably need to use it now, but it's brilliant. Like £6.50.
Mm-hmm. So good. How often do you use it?
Usually every other wash. And I often mix it in with my normal shampoo.
Do you leave it on?
No.
Straight in and out.
You've got to really wash it out because it can get purple. Which is a cool look too if you're going for that. But yeah, love that. £6.50 as well. Can't go wrong.
You also mentioned Pucker's Holy Basil, which you wrote a piece on. This is fascinating.
I love
Tell
this.
Us about this.
So I went to see a naturopath and she recommended that I take this. And it is incredible. You can have it as a tea, but she recommended a supplement for its, full benefits. It's great. It's one of those, it's an adaptogen. So it adapts your body either to calm down if you're stressed or to G up it if you need that. So it knows what your body needs, but it's just so good. I take it every day, take two a day.
Do you? Yeah. You noticed a real difference?
Yeah, real difference. Just keeps you a bit on an even keel.
That's the trouble with these things. It's so difficult to really feel sort of tangible effects from them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I was really interested and in...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quite pleased to see that you take the Optivac probiotics.
Yes.
Which, following our wellness day, I trotted off to get. And actually, I take an antibiotic for my eczema every day. Shouldn't say that. Every other day, actually, which I know is not good to do long term, but I have been told that if I take a low dose, as long as I take a probiotic, it's okay. But anyway, I went off to Planet Organic and chatted to them, and I was like, I've been told that cheap ones are a false economy, and then they were like, it's £36 a month. Mm. It's £36, what, 30 tablets or something? Yeah. I was horrified at these costs.
But I'm
taking the same ones as you, so I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, and also these ones have 50 billion.
Yes.
You know, cultures per pill. The ones you buy in Planet Organic, I mean, Holland & Barrett, they could be like a million, 3 million. Mm-hmm. These are like real super strength.
There is one up from that was even more money. I was I was like, I think £36 on a probiotic a month is quite enough. Mm. And I'm taking them because I think I've got bad digestion as well. I don't think my gut health is very good. And I actually think I do feel a bit better from them. I'm quite sceptic about these things. Do you think they're really good?
I think they're really good. I really rate them. Take it every day. Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think everyone needs them. And I was actually, when I went to Planet Organic, I was with a girlfriend. And we were chatting to the woman in the shop, and she's like, oh, should I be taking them? And the woman said, well, do you feel well? Do you have any health concerns? And she said, no, I don't. She said, well, no, don't bother them. I have specific reasons why I take this probiotic. So I think it's not that everyone suddenly has to take them. I think it's only if you're experiencing.
Yeah, and it's good. I was told to take them, you know, I wouldn't take this every day for the rest of my life. Kind of do a month on, month off, that kind of thing, just so your body doesn't get used to it as well.
Interesting to see what the effects are as well, if you really notice that you're back on them now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think the effects are supposed to be quite instant, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you to have like an instant benefit. I couldn't see instant results, but I do feel good. I do want to take them, absolutely.
We posted a yoga video with London-based yogi Helen Falavino, showing you how yoga could help ease period pain. This was produced in conjunction with Pink Parcel. What a Pink Parcel?
It's that subscription, the monthly subscription service that sends you all sorts of things for your period and stuff.
Do they? What do they send you?
Tampons. I think you can kind of adjust what you can choose what you have in the box. Yeah, tampons, pads, and they send you like some other kind of monthly treats, like some makeup and like Birchbox-esque subscription things.
Like Million Dollar Shave, what's it called?
And that razor subscription.
That massive razor subscription. And so this one over here now. Yoga period pain. I don't know, does anyone have any techniques that they use? Do you suffer a lot from period pain?
I'm really reluctant to pop a pill when it comes to period pain, just because obviously it happens every month. I don't want to be taking for X amount of days a month, always taking ibuprofen and paracetamol. So I'm always quite keen to find something else. And I actually have one of these microwavable beans.
Okay.
And I sleep with that at night time if I'm suffering, or a hot bath, and those are my two go-tos for pain relief. Pretty much any pain relief, actually. So I've spoken about before how I get this sort of like what I think is ovulation pain. Same again, take a bath. It's the only thing that stops. Tablets, I don't think do anything for me, because I think I'm a bit, it's all about my mindset. Do you the same with that, like mind over matter, that type of thing? I haven't tried yoga or anything like that, but those are my two non-prescriptive.
So the microwavable beanie babies, is that what they are?
They're kind of, yeah, like wheat bags.
Okay,
mine's an owl.
What about you, both?
I haven't tried it, but I imagine it's a bit like, I think it could work. It's a bit like hypnobirthing when you're in labour. I think it's sort of teaching you to kind of channel your breath and
come back.
I mean, I did a class, I didn't really use it, but yeah, it's about concentrating on your body and sort of not freaking and panicking, but trying to remain calm. And I can imagine it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because with my second baby, I did have to use it. And when I got control of my breathing with a bit of help from some gas and air at the very last minute, it literally saved me. Whereas before I did that, I was just like crazy possessed woman. And then I got control of my breathing and it worked. So I can imagine it does have some effect.
I mean, I love yoga. I actually don't get out of period pain, so I can't really attest to this. But it helps with so many things. And just taking like 10 minutes out of your day, if you are feeling a bit crappy, just to like check in with the body, you know, do some stretching. This would definitely make you feel better. You know, it can't make you feel worse.
Exactly. It can't do anything bad. And if it can stop you popping two more ibuprofen,
I mean, I would say is labour is a very like isolated time, and some people are keen to do it very naturally. I mean, I suppose it's the same with period pains, isn't it?
Yeah, because like, period pains are like 2 days or something, or some people get them for just a day. Then if you can try and get a grip of yourself.
Yeah, I think if you do have really bad period pain that goes on for like your whole
period, then you can't avoid it.
And also I think you probably should go and see your GP, because that's not also normal to have pain all the time. But, you know, if it's your day or like the morning or the evening,
God, I'll try the coil. I have the coil and I barely have a period. I mean, it is amazing. It's completely changed my life.
Lots of my friends have it actually now.
It is just really? So, yeah, I mean, they pretty much stop.
It's not horrible having it put in.
Yeah, it's not very nice having it put in, but it's, I mean, having had children, I'm like, it doesn't even come close. I mean, yes, I think probably if you haven't been through pregnancy and all the glamour of that and the pain that comes with that, then you probably would find it a bit uncomfortable, but it's really bearable. Like, if that's your reason, I would say, man, I'm going to have it put in.
My friend had to go under an anaesthetic to have hers in, like anaesthetic.
What?
She, it was horrendous.
Do they even allow that?
Apparently.
I promise it's not that bad. I made such a fuss about it, and actually, it's quite quick. And having it out's fine.
And how long does it last?
Is it 5 years, I think? Sure.
Oh, wow.
We should definitely do a piece on this.
It's 5 years. I honestly think it is completely brilliant. And I mean, there are horror stories. There are horror stories with everything, aren't there? If you ask enough people, you'll always find someone who's had a shocker with something like this. But like my personal experience, I have the marine coil, I think. So there's the marina and then copper coil. Yeah. I have the marina, which is, I think, the hormone one. I've got it in for the second time now. And yeah, both times, it's pretty much just stopped my periods.
Really nice.
I mean, it's just not something I ever have to think about now.
Yeah.
Alcohol and breast cancer. They say 1 in 8 British women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. But a recent study has reaffirmed the link between alcohol consumption and breast cancer, indicating that lifestyle factors may play a part. It says that of a group of 100 women, 13 are likely to develop breast cancer, and if you drink a small glass of wine a day, one extra case might develop. So at our wellness day, somebody came from Copperfield. She's someone who'd been diagnosed with breast cancer in her mid-20s. She was now in her late 20s. She had another career, but Copperfield has lots of volunteers who have been sufferers and ambassadors and things. To raise awareness of women checking themselves. And what she did say, you know, the cure rate for breast cancer is very high, but it's all about catching it early. So you can go onto the Copperfield website and there's a number that you can text, and then you get a reminder every month to check yourself. And there's a video, I was wondering how they're going to do it, but there's a guy that they're demonstrating on, which is quite a clever way to do it, showing you exactly what to do. Like, you need to lift your arm in the air, you need to go quite high up. But I think also the point they're making is, if you do keep checking yourself, you're going to notice the difference.
You think,
oh, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I guess if there's suddenly a lump, you're going to notice it, because that's what I've always thought. What am I looking for? Everything's a bit like,
everything's a bit bumpy,
lumpy and bumpy. But I guess the point is, if you're checking, you'll notice the difference.
I have really small boobs. I think if there was a lump, I'd just notice it.
I still need to.
I definitely noticed there was, maybe you wouldn't.
It's not necessarily protruding, is it? It's beneath the tissue.
Super important.
So important. Let that be a reminder to us, all me included. I wanted to talk about pooky lighting. Does everyone know pooky lighting?
I do now. I didn't until we did this.
So I think pooky is a brilliant addition to the interiors world, shall we say. So Pooky was set up by Rowan Blacker, who was one of the founders of sofa.com, and they completely reinvented the way you buy sofas and how fun you make buying a sofa and what a success story sofa.com was and is. And Pooky is Rowan's latest venture. He launched it a few years ago now. But I think what's interesting is that interior designers really rate it as well, which I think sofa.com is great. I have lots of their sofas, but sofa snobs will say that they're not the best money you're going to send on a sofa.
I love my sofa.
Me too.
But I do remember one woman saying, I mean, really. She said, we're just putting cheap sofa.com sofas in there. I was like, oh, I don't think sofa.com sofas are that cheap.
Yeah, I don't either.
Such a quality, though.
Yeah,
and they are actually made well. But I suppose, like all these things, you can still probably make them even better. I'm with you. I'm a massive, all my sofas are sofa.com. But yeah, it's interesting how many interior designers really rate Pooky. And so this was a bit of a sort of Q&A with someone from the brand, and I thought there were some really great points in here. But ultimately, if you're looking for sort of nice finishing touches and decorative lighting for your home, then
and pattern, I think pattern in particular, they're so good at their
iCat,
and their prints. And because I think we're all quite afraid to
definitely
be bold with it, but actually a lampshade is such a nice and easy way just to add, and it's really reasonably priced.
I mean, their iCat lampshades start from, I think, about £40,
and in such cool colors too.
Such great colors. And I think, cushions on a sofa, lampshades,
it's a really nice way of being bringing print in.
And I think as well, we're a bit more open to print and fun things in our homes, but some of us have done our homes and we don't own our homes, so it's kind of it's a good way to do it, isn't it, without having to redo a whole room or spend too much money. And they had some nice tips in this piece. So they said lampshades are ideal if you're looking to inject color into a room without overwhelming your scheme. They said change your lampshades once a year to refresh your home. I think that's maybe a bit much.
A bit excessive.
And non-diffusing pendants create warm pools of light for an intimate
atmosphere. I think one of the things when I first did my house, I've kind of done it in two stages, but when I first did it, I really underestimated the impact that good lighting can have.
Big time.
On your house. And I remember thinking, I want to spend money on carpets or a sofa or... And then I saw a friend's house and she'd been to a lighting designer and got her some really help. And I was like, wow, I really get the lighting thing now. Yeah. She had all these different switches that did different things, and some did low level and some did bright and some were for the evening. And
everybody should have a dimmer switch.
Yes, so that's the thing. Yeah, I have to say, I've really gone for dimmers. The tip that I did get first time around was from an interior designer friend who told me about 5 amps. Do you guys know what 5 amps
are?
So they're when you plug lamps into the wall and then you can turn them on to the switch.
Which is just
the best thing. So in my sitting room where I've got side tables with, actually I've got Pookie lights on them, you just change the plug, or from Pookie you can request that they have a 5 amp.
Okay.
And you plug them into the wall. You know those funny sockets that are like close together?
Yes.
So you plug them into there and then they connect to a light switch. So when I walk into my sitting room, I just turn on the switch
and it turns on my side.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's really cool. I just missed the boat with that.
So that's an interior designer tip.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm.
I don't think it's that hard. It's just a socket, but it just means you have to go around. I remember my mum going around turning all the side lights.
That's me, always. I love a side lamp.
No, so do I.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a good tip. Oh, the other tip they said was use warm bulbs wherever possible. LEDs, which we all use now, come in a range of colour temperatures, so there's no need to have blinding white, which is also a good tip.
Definitely. I hate those blinding white ones.
I actually have cool white in my kitchen.
I do too now. I've changed it because my house is quite dark downstairs.
I look quite nice.
And I've gone cool white.
I think
white.
Your kitchen's different. Mm. The kitchen's really nice to be.
I have them in my sitting room now as well, but I have them on dimmers.
Yeah.
So it's better. Yeah. But at first, we put them in. I remember when they first went in, and it was just so weird.
Yeah.
But because my house is quite dark, it's actually
it gives it much more daylight.
So much light. My electrician puts green, so my bedroom's got green lights.
Oh, really?
Like a green version. Quite moody, and it's quite nice in the bedroom.
Really? Yeah. Cool. Never even heard of that.
Yeah, because I find the yellows, I find the warm white can be a bit dull sometimes. I mean, it depends on the house, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just think sometimes it feels cosy.
They also do great pendant lights, and I'm a big fan of pendant lights. I've got them either side of my bed and in my bathroom, and 3 in my kitchen. And the other point they said was that, remember, pendants work best in clusters.
Mm.
Sounds a bit obvious, but anyway. Although I think one big pendant, my neighbour's just done a massive Tom Dixon pendant in the centre of her sitting room, quite low, and it looks really,
really cool.
But I think for the small ones, you want them to be in clusters. Try to choose metallic finishes that match your look.
And also, again, really reasonably priced, I think. I think that large Luxor lantern is seriously nice, £145.
Mm. Yeah, they've got some amazing lanterns, haven't they?
Yeah.
Really nice pendant lights and some really nice desk lights as well.
Yeah,
the sort of angel poise desk lamps. I mean, I think Pookie is such a great destination. Vitamin patches. What do you think about vitamin patches?
I find this so. The first thing that came to my mind was those patches that people wear to stop smoking.
Nicotine patches.
Yeah. First thing that came to my mind when I read vitamin patches, and it also scares me a little bit because I'm worried about how do you monitor how much you're taking. But it's quite interesting that it's that the vitamin consumption has developed into patches now, not just oral tablets. And there's obviously science behind it, about the way it's digested, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a bit like those vitamin D sprays. They say you should put in your mouth as well. I think so many of us take a multivitamin and just take it with the wrong food, and it just gets completely wasted.
Completely. And they're not cheap.
No.
And I was interested that it said that one of the real problems is that we struggle to break down and digest the coating on a lot of supplements.
Yeah.
So we're not fully getting the benefits of taking them orally.
Yes.
Mm. So anyway, this piece basically said that obviously nothing can replace a healthy diet, but even the most healthy amongst us might be struggling to get everything we need from just food because of, you know, pollution and soil quality, etc. There was becoming a bit of a trend for vitamin patches because obviously the skin absorbs everything you put on it, more, doesn't it? 90% or whatever it is of what you put on it.
Kind of also reminds me a bit of the drips, the vitamin drips.
Oh yeah, we've tried that as well.
You know, yesterday I was so hungover and I was so tempted to go and get.
Really? I thought you didn't like your vitamin drips.
I didn't, but I'm so desperate.
I really want to try it.
You should go and try it. I actually.
So you do it again? You didn't like it? Did you?
I didn't like it. Also, I wasn't hungover.
Yeah.
And I think
you need to feel.
Yeah, I did feel so good the next day, but it didn't last. I think if you are hungover or need a quick fix, they are really good.
So you haven't tried it on hangover?
No.
And they open at the weekend, because that's surely when they need to be open.
Yeah. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I need to go. Where is it?
I went to one in Knightsbridge. It was actually opposite Harvey Nicks. I can't remember what it's called now, but there are so many.
And it's about £30 or something, isn't it?
No, it's quite a lot.
Oh, is it a lot more than that?
100, 200.
Because that's the thing. I mean, you might be hungover, but just suck it up, up, go to bed and save £100 you're going to spend on that. I guess.
Yeah,
if you had a big event or something.
Rehydration sessions.
Didn't cut it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll tell you what's really good is Gabriella Peacock, who has the GP nutrition brand of vitamins, she does, I think it's the Restore Me.
Yes, she does. Do
that she, and it comes with pills and it comes with sachets, and you're supposed to take like one of the sachets before you go to bed. Oh, yeah. And the next day you take another sachet and some of the pills, and they're really good.
Yeah. I actually tried them. We had a sample in our wellness day goodie bag, and I tried them. I haven't bought them, I just tried them.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Her stuff is so impressive. In fact, well, she's sending us a load of samples because she's just launched these new kits. So they're 3-day kits.
I saw them.
And there's a bikini me, something else, and something else.
Yeah, really cool. What was the name of that one you tried?
Restore Me.
But I think they are genuinely really, really good. And we obviously talked about Slim Me. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this?
No.
So Slim Me is her slimming supplement range, and I think they're quite high in fibre, and if you take them half an hour before you eat a meal, and yeah, they're quite high in fibre, so they sort of stop you being quite so hungry. Okay. But there's nothing bad in them. Yeah, yes. I think it's amazing. She's producing some really innovative stuff, isn't she? Mm. I think it's a really interesting brand.
Check her out, for sure.
Well, anyway, going back to patches, they're currently available in a B complex and D formulations. And the point that was made in this article that I thought was good was that in this country, we need vitamin D. It's something we get from the sun. But if you want to get the benefits of vitamin D without being in the sun, now that I've grown up and I don't go in the sun, this is a good way to do it, to wear a vitamin patch instead. Let's talk about controlling your appetite. I'm a real grazer.
You all are, aren't we?
Me too.
I'd really like to be better. I think the point for me that stood out the most in this article was the benefit of having protein in your diet. I know I don't have enough protein in my diet, and that eating protein keeps you satisfied the longer. But what this also said was that it's also when you eat it that really matters.
Yeah.
And that eating it first thing in the morning is the most valuable.
Yeah.
It's a good way to start the day.
It's such a simple tip. Yeah.
I know. But eat eggs, salmon,
yogurt. Greek yogurt is such a good source of protein. I have that every morning.
Yeah. I just don't
know.
Do you know,
really naive of me. I didn't know that Greek yogurt was a source of protein.
It's really delicious. It's high protein.
Yeah. So is all yogurt protein?
No. So
what's Greek yogurt got that other yogurt doesn't?
I think it's just the way it's made. But like your average like basic yogurt in Sainsbury's, that's just about have like 5 grams of protein for 100 grams, whereas Greek yogurt's got like 20. Okay. Which is the same as like a chicken breast.
Yeah.
Really?
And less sugar and everything that normal yogurts have.
Good knowledge. Okay, so protein, adding vinegar and cinnamon, which I thought was a bit of a weird one, I don't know.
Studies have shown that cinnamon is actually really quite effective in that respect. They say if you add like a teaspoon of cinnamon to your porridge,
to your Greek yogurt,
anything, it manages all your blood glucose, which stops you craving stuff.
Drinking more water, we all know about that one. Instagramming your food, I thought that was quite a good one. At first I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I thought it sort of consciously might make you eat a bit healthier. I mean, I sit down, I think if someone's got to Instagram my food, I'd be like, shit, I can't eat that. I can't
eat sugar. And it's like keeping a food diary. Whenever you have to do that, you feel like you're much more aware of what you're eating.
What you're going to eat.
So, you know.
What else? Getting enough sleep, this whole leptin and ghrelin, which I feel like we hear quite a lot about, because ghrelin, if you have too much ghrelin hormone, that increases your appetite, doesn't it? So not being too tired. The other point was doing some HIIT exercise, which again made such perfect sense, because I find if I do full-on cardio, I'm really not hungry straight away. But if I go swimming
makes me so hungry, and I swim so much.
So when you do HIIT, obviously you're really hot, all your blood is pumping around, your body's trying to cool down, and I think that distracts from your hunger. But with swimming, I think it's the opposite.
Okay.
So that's why you feel hungry straight away.
But I'm really hot after swimming.
Yeah, I don't know the science, but there's definitely something in it. I read about it, yeah.
It's blood flow, isn't it? Something to do with blood flow.
Definitely. We should look into it.
Redirecting different parts of your body.
Two other points that stood out to me was one was taking a chromium supplement. I think you'd be a bit careful about not taking too much chromium supplement. I think it's great for you. Is it your liver?
I don't know, but people say it stops your sugar cravings and all sorts of things. So
okay. And the other is eating slowly. It takes us around 10 to 30 minutes to feel full from our food. So slow down and you'll be more satisfied with what's on your plate. So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlarks.com. And if you enjoyed that, then do please review us and subscribe via iTunes. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.